Thanks for joining us today to hear our latest Hope Central podcast. We trust this message will help you know more about Jesus and inspire you to be more like him.
Hi everyone, great to be with you. I would like to tell you a story. Actually, it's a bit of my story, and I'm kind of hoping that you might get something out of it. Imagine me as a 20, 21-year-old lad, just love being out on farms, being outside, being with animals, mucking out stables, building animal shelters, wearing a pair of jeans shorts, a pair of Levi 501s that I put the holes through my knees, so cut them off, and they become favourite shorts ever, and a tank top. My favourite tank top, wore it all the time. It's just so comfortable, and it had on the front of it this saying, it said, "She'll be right." Now, how Australian is that? I loved it, but also because it kind of summed up me. I just thought, she'll be right. That was just the kind of attitude towards life I had, this sort of trust and she'll be right attitude. And I was really fortunate to get saved at the age of 12 in a church that I'd started going to with a friend, and then mum and dad started coming along, and I made a decision to follow Christ. And it was this amazing thing happened, because I didn't really think it was a huge thing. I thought I was kind of just making a decision to say, I'm not going to sit on the fence anymore, I am going to follow Christ. But 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come." And I actually found that that was the case. It kind of took me by surprise. I felt clean. I felt like I was a new person. And I always knew that God was with me. And even from that time forward, I never felt lonely. Would talk to him. And my challenge has probably been more in becoming a new person and the old passing away, not letting that old creep back again. And I guess that's what I want to talk to you about. I had a great church that I was in, great youth group, loved it, real genuine group of people that loved God, and really great teenage years. I left home at 17 and moved to Melbourne to study to become a vet, and that was pretty full on, really, really hard work, lots of discipline, and just heaps and heaps of study, prac work during the holidays, but got involved in different churches when I moved around Melbourne, youth groups, made heaps of friends, just loved it, it was great. Last couple of years at uni was in a church that sort of was a church plant, went from 20 to 200 in those 2 years, and I was leading the worship department, and it's just great time. So life is just great. Now, you've probably heard this quote: life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. Fairly common quote. But what that says to me is that a lot of life is up here. You know, a little bit of us walking around in the world and things happen. But up here is what most of our world is like, our inner world. And I'm figuring most of you will relate to that. And I just want to talk about, how did this guy who just thought, you know, she'll be right, became like this classic overthinker? And some of you know what the term overthinker is, and you do it all the time. I just be sitting there and Anne's going, my wife, "What are you thinking about?" And it's either nothing, standard husband response, or it's like, I'm thinking about the bizarrest things, and how was that made, and how do you fix that, and why did that happen, and who said that, and why did they say that, and how can we fix this, and how can, and what makes that tick, and just, and doesn't stop, and you know, yeah, some of you do it. So, you know, but this overthinking, and I think maybe some of it is maybe our vet training, because I'm constantly looking at why this is the case. Why is this animal sick? What could have led to this? How do we fix it? What can we do? And that sort of trains you down that track to be asking questions and thinking all the time. And I hear of and read about vocations where the people get trained for the police, start to think a certain way. Lawyers come home to their kids. "What time did you get home last night?" You go, "Oh, it was 10 o'clock. I saw a photo of you in town at 9:30. You couldn't have got there. How long did you take to get there? What speed were you doing? And they just interrogate. It's just a thing. Anyway, back to this 20-year-old kid. In my 20s, graduated, working really hard, great job, doing heaps of work, went to Bible college at night and a leadership school. I was involved in the youth and just in the worship department at the church that we were going to. Loved it, just all really great stuff. About that time, I met this gorgeous young lady, and some of you know my wife, Anne. She's gorgeous, totally opposite to me. She's gorgeous, and I'm a lucky man. Within a year, we got married, and about that time, we moved overseas, went to the UK. We had back and forth there for over 6 or so years, but had 2 kids, so little kids growing up. And life happens, and we got busy, but in my 30s, we were over in the UK, we were working. Oh, I was working really hard, managing a practice, doing some renovations, really busy, involved in the church with the youth group, and we were again in the worship team, we're on the key leadership team. There's so much happening, and we loved it. Everything was growing. We loved it. Our marriage was growing, our kids, our little family was growing, our faith was growing. We were seeing miracles. We're just, you know, it's just a great time. I took a great leap of faith 1 year to give up full-time work and go to Bible college / leadership institute for a whole year, and that was a really significant year for me. It was great, and learned so much, just went real deep, learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about leadership and things that were going to set me up for later on. And we moved back to Australia, just to bring the kids to school here, and we moved to a property where we had heaps of room that we could have a lot of people over. We were really hospitable, loved having people over. And in a couple of years after that, we set up a church at home church, and we started leading a group of people there. And it was just all happening, and life was good. Life was good. Things, you know, felt that God had been leading us. We'd seen so much. We're just so positive about, you know, making change in the world and helping people out. And it was good. And then slowly, just bit by bit, didn't notice it at first, things got tougher. Things got harder. I got exhausted, started to feel undervalued at work, as in my profession. I felt depressed. I got disappointed with things I'd seen in leadership. I felt disillusioned, just dry, dead inside, and it was really hard to like make any sense of it. It wasn't logical, because we were really fortunate. I mean, to start with, in Australia we're fortunate, but things should have been good. And I had nothing, no energy left. I could go to work and do my job, but I had no energy left for the family or anyone else. No sense of humor. And I'm a funny guy. Up in here, what's going on? Hilarious. But just nothing. And I remember saying in those times, to people, you know, if you'd met me about 10 years ago, you'd really like me. But now it's just grumpy. And the thing that probably really cut me up the most about that was feeling like the kids were growing up and at a pretty impressionable age, where they weren't seeing their energetic, productive, faith-filled, she'll be right, I'm going to change the world dad. They were just seeing someone who'd just given up. And I didn't want that to be their example of life, but I didn't know how to change it. And somehow my thinking had shifted from who I was to what I'd become. And why? I don't really know. A whole lot of factors. I was working two jobs because finances were getting tight. It was the time interest rates had gone up. I mean, not the 18% of our parents' experience, but we fixed to like 13 and then things dropped. But that was factor stage of life, and school fees and things like that. So things are tighter there. I think there was a real misalignment with what we were doing with life and our core values and what we believed about ministry and wanting to be a real generous couple and finding that really hard to do. But really why? I just had no answers. I just really didn't know. So I saw a doctor, I got professional help, I checked out, speaking to somebody. About that time, I probably became a lot more aware of mental health issues in the veterinary industry, which there's about four times likelihood of suicide in the vet industry. So that's significant. And when we know we're dealing with something like that, an iceberg, it's just the tip. And that means there's a lot of stressed out vets. And there's reasons for it. And that's a whole other story. But I knew I had to make changes and couldn't go on like this, or Anne wasn't going to end up with a husband, and the kids weren't going to have a father. And so I started looking at what changes we can make, and we laid down the church that we were running, which actually then just brought up questions of, have I failed? Did I not hear God initially, because I felt that he'd spoken really clearly to us about starting, so why would he do that? And then, and you know, in this time he'd just been so silent, like nothing, I was getting nothing, so really different to what I was used to. I let my workplace know that I was going to be finishing work this year, later in the year, and so it was closer to town. So I was setting up a locum business, and I'd done that before when Dylan was born, but I did this properly, and I was going to go and locum and do different jobs for maybe just 2 or 3 weeks all around the place, just maybe a bit of change of scenery and see if it helped. And I actually handed in my notice at work to say that I was officially finishing up, and that very week got a call from a friend who was buying a practice really close and wanted me to, asked if I, what I was doing and if I could come and join him. And so as it is, that's actually a possibility. And it turned out to happen and to be a great move and get me back in the community where I was part of, and just a great change there. So I really felt that was God's provision. The dilemma I had though was, being a Christian and all the things I'd seen before and healings and miracles and all I knew, trying to reconcile my faith with my experience. Like, why should I even feel like this? How could I feel like this? How could I even talk about that? How could I be honest about feeling so flat, when for years I'd felt that, you know, with God on my side, anything was possible? Now, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't know if you ever feel like that. And it's a hard conversation to have, because it sort of means being really honest and maybe saying I don't have all the answers. I guess you may or you may not relate to that, and I suspect some of you probably do relate to it. In some way, I think we all have expectations and of how life might turn out, what should happen, what we'd like to happen. And, you know, some of those expectations really mess with our head. You know, it was a pretty slow road back to getting to back to that guy who just thought, she'll be right. One of the expectations I had that was that God should at least explain all this to me. I mean, being a Christian, I know there's purpose, and I know God has his reasons and purposes. So I thought it was actually reasonable that he should just at least explain it to me and what I was going to learn and all of that sort of thing. But, you know, it eventually got to the point where I just had to let it go. And I did. And honestly, I got to the point, I don't care now. I don't care if I never find out what all of that was all about. And one of my favorite psalms is actually Psalm 139. And it starts off, it says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." And it starts to give the impression that God probably knows me even better than I know myself. And his thoughts are probably a lot clearer and truer than mine might be. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, it says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And later in Psalm 139, it goes on to say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." And I got to the point where I just had to rest in that and just leave it with God. And then I started to find out a little bit more about what that was all about. Nowadays, it's interesting that psychologists are talking about the fact that life is partly what happens to you, and the rest is what you tell yourself what happened to you. And you will know this, but we all have this inner self, this inner world, this self-talk that's going on all the time. And it's just, I find it intriguing that two people can come at the same situation, same set of circumstances, and can react to it really differently, or see it really differently, perceive it really differently, and have different even emotional reactions and feelings to it. And so it sort of says to me, there's so much going on up in here about the way we live, and God actually has a lot to say about it too. Eventually, I let it go trying to find the answers, and it was actually only then that I really did start to get some answers. And some of them are interesting, so I want to share them with you because they might help you as well. You know the story about the Israelites going into, or being delivered from slavery, don't you? They're in Egypt and they get rescued and they go out into a desert. Well, that story kind of captured me because a desert was just that dry place, is just where I felt that I was, like, you know, just so dry. I mean, if I wasn't laughing, we're in a bad place. So the thing that I felt, though, was looking at how did the Israelites get into Egypt in the first place? And God showed me that what actually happened, and if you probably know the story, but if you don't, have a read. There was a famine in the land, and Jacob had a son, Joseph, who God engineered to get into a place of power, the second in command in Egypt, and give him understanding about what was going on so that he could set up relief to save, firstly, Egypt and the surrounding countries. And so the Israelites' ancestors moved down to Egypt to be saved, not because they'd sinned, not because they'd done something wrong, not because they'd been rebellious or going their own way, but they actually followed God's plan and provision down into Egypt. Now, God showed me that, and it was really, I think it released something for me, because it actually showed me that I had been following him. I hadn't been rebellious or doing my own thing, but I had followed him and he had been providing for me. What happened was that somehow I got taken captive. And Colossians 2 verse 8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ." Yeah, when we think about being taken captive, we're normally thinking about prisoners being thrown into jail or in wartime situations. But this is talking about being taken captive by your thoughts, about what's up in here, by hollow and deceptive philosophies. And even that we can sort of disregard that because we're thinking about, you know, Greek mythology or maybe the whole Jewish traditions or some indigenous tales. Let me put that in modern context. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies. The modern analogy of that might be our social media telling us that everybody's on holidays all the time, or that everybody is always happy, or that everybody is doing well, that everybody is prospering, everybody is doing far better than we are, that we should be going on this and getting this, and that somehow if we get something more in this materialistic world, we'll be happy. And it's just a shallow and deceptive philosophy. It's good marketing, but it's not what's going to bring us fulfillment and joy. And so we can become a little bit captive to that. I also found that I had learnt in that time the power of obedience and true sacrifice. I remember my thoughts really changing about, around worship. And I've always loved worship, like being in the music team and loved worshiping, singing and stuff. But, you know, in those times when I went to church and just stood there without lifting my hands or clapping, sometimes just managing to do that and just to be there, my worship was more real than the exuberant worship in good times. I learned about brokenness. I think I learned a lot about empathy and understanding other people. I did learn a lot about empathy and having empathy for others. I learned about perseverance and just enduring. And there are things that, you know, when people go through something and you go, would you want to do that again? And okay, I would not want to go through that again. But then I also wouldn't not want to have gone through it because it actually was so valuable. So it's a dilemma. But moving forward, how do we move forward from that sort of place? And there's a couple of really key lessons that I just want to share with you about renewing our mind and taking that thought process and changing it around. And one of the things, and this I thought this was a really practical thing for me, is from a scripture. And, you know, let me just say, like moving forward, I agree with everything that the doctors are going to say. And if you're in a place like that, you know, getting fresh air, getting exercise, looking at your diet, all of those things are actually really critical, crucial and helpful. But it's somehow, and this is the thing. See, I knew all of that too. But there was somehow were powerless to change in here. And so this scripture here really helped me. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And it said, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So you overthinkers, you guys that just start thinking about something and it just goes, when it starts going down a track and just like gets, you know what I'm talking about. I think so. Some of my days at work just head me down that track. I all day for hours on end, I'm calculating stuff, I'm looking at pathology results, I'm trying to interpret x-rays and trying to work out histories, doing more calculations. It's constant, it's under pressure of time. And I can get to the end of the day, and that's like, we love our patients. And so we get there and we're just still worried about, are they getting better? Are they going to be okay? Is there anything else going on? And I can spend all night just lying awake thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. And it starts to go like this. And this is how anxious thoughts can grab us as well. Now that scripture, now taking every thought captive to Christ, I'd always known that and thought, yep, that one, is about if there's sinful thought or bad thought or starting to maybe even negative thoughts. Let's deal with those as well. Let's take those captive. But I had a revelation that I can take every thought captive. I can actually have authority in Christ to go, stop. Those thoughts need to stop. I need to stop thinking about those and choose what I'm going to think about and actually stop that cycle of just running off and being out of control. And it was actually a really practical but powerful revelation for me. Another one came from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I love this. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And when it says be transformed, the original Greek is metamorpho, which we get the word metamorphosis, where we see something changing completely, being renewed like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly and then just having all these new abilities. And there's a lot of work around in psychology about the way we think with our mindsets and having either a fixed mindset that just is as we think and nothing will change. We are who we are how we are, and we can't change. Or having what's called a growth mindset. And I find the more I look at scriptures is that the psychologists are actually just elucidating what is already in scripture, what God is really interested in, that we are always growing, that neuroplasticity isn't a new thing or discovery for him, but he's known that we can always grow and get better and change what we were in the past. In fact, he talks about transforming us by the renewing of our mind. And I found that was really, really powerful thing. So where am I now? I know this is just a little bit of a journey, but I'm now a co-owner of one of the largest and I'm going to say the best veterinary hospitals in the north of Adelaide. We have over 30 amazing staff, and I can just tell you they are just so hardworking, so skilled. They're just a great team. They're passionate. They're dedicated. I just can't tell you. I'm humbled to work with these guys. And it's a fantastic environment. I'm involved in the missions trips here at Hope Central, going over to Papua New Guinea, and I love that connection that we've made, and I love seeing people come along and the change that God makes in them, and I love what we're able to impart into those communities. I'm on the board here at Hope Central, and I am excited about what God has taught me through all of these things and all the moving around that I've done over the years and being part of what he's doing, having seen the good, the bad and the ugly, knowing, giving me some understanding and being able to strategize about where he wants us to be, because I know he wants his church to be healthy. He wants the bride of Christ to be beautiful. And I love the vision that we have to create communities of grace, because for me, that's it. I have experienced so much of God's amazing grace, and without his grace, I wouldn't be here. During those hard times, that's perhaps one of the things I've learned, is that I've grown in understanding because I've experienced his grace. I've grown in trust, in trusting him, because he got me to having a she'll be right attitude, not because everything seemed okay, but because I could say that with conviction when everything's not okay. And it's a big difference. I'm excited about learning more in leadership and being better now in 10 years' time than I am now. And I'm excited for the future and what's going to happen. And I'm excited for you, because I know what God has done in me. And if he can do that, I know he can do it for you too. And he wants to do it for you too. So it's just a little bit of my story. I've learned so much over the years from hearing other people's stories and what they've been through and how they dealt with it. And I know it's really blessed me. So I hope there's maybe just a little part of what I've said that might have been helpful for you. And just pray that you'll stay safe, stay connected, and be really blessed. And thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. And if you would like to know more about our service times, locations, or to subscribe to our podcast, head over to our website, hopecentral.org.au, for any further information.